I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Jeremy Davenport is performing this weekend in St. Louis. We're going to talk to him coming up. Playwright Joel P.E. King knows a thing or two about real life. Born in Washington Park, Illinois, as the seventh of 11 children, King watched as his community transformed from one that thrived on family and fellowship to a place of crime and fear. The negative experiences that he was aware of, both as a child and as an adult, served as an inspiration for his aptly titled play, Real Life. King's play debuted in St. Louis in 2010, and it returns for a four-night run at the Grandel Theater. St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams talked with King, and they revisited the highs and lows of his own real life.
Real Life centers around a character who had the opportunity to go to college on scholarship, but chose to thwart that in order to stay in at home.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, to just go into depth, he was this all-star type of guy, you know, just as far as his backstory is concerned, an all-star, very high as far as scholastic achievements and all of that. So what I wanted to do was find a way to expose the paradigm as far as city living is concerned, or we can call it ghetto, the mentality behind that, and what creates that sense of what makes it stagnant. And so what happened is in that moment of his rise to success, he gave it up because it was too much. And he, being from where he come from, he could not understand why all of that was his next step. So he pretty much, you know, just forfeited it all. And so with that being said, as life continued, he could not figure out what was next. You know, so if it wasn't this, then what's my next step? So he, in that way, he implanted himself in his environment and learning the different ways to survive. And so he just gave it up for a life of streets, and it became something became very detrimental later on.
You are born and raised in St. Louis. Did you know people like that growing up who felt that if they did leave, they wouldn't know what to do?
Well, absolutely. I think to give more conversation in regards to that, to give where that whole idea even come from. I was a camp counselor back in 2004, and we were at the St. Louis Arch, and there were a couple of about four different young adolescents, ages 11, 13, and it was a little boy. We just have this discussion, you know, what do you guys think about, you know, this idea of the ghetto? You know, what do you all think about it? And so this one little boy said to me, he said, man, I will never leave the ghetto because if I left the ghetto, I'd be selling out to my community. And in one idea, you're like, okay. And then another idea, you're like, what does that really mean? Especially when you start describing what the ghetto is, when you ask those, when I ask those same children, like, what do you guys think of it? And to find that they settled, that's what I saw it as, with this life of, and I don't want to say hopelessness, but I would go that far, you know, as far as it's concerned, because a lot of what has been created, you know, is loosely based on this idea of poverty and having to stay there.
Did you ever feel that way when you grew up and decided and it was time to move on and do bigger things? Did you ever feel that if you left your environment or if you left the city that you would be just completely selling out?
Well, you know what? The funny part about that, I never thought that. But when I left for L.A., when we had done this show back in 2010, I left for L.A. at the early year 2011. And honestly, if I ever felt like I was abandoning my community, that was the time. And I didn't even understand why. Like, I couldn't even accept the whole move that I, you know, my transition as far as L.A. was concerned. For me, in my head, I was going there to better myself and hopefully be able to bring something back to my community. But while I was there, the internal battle that I had, it just would not accept that at the time. So it just became very strong as far as that struggle was concerned.
Tell me a little bit about your environment growing up. I believe that you were the seventh of 10 children.
Yeah, seventh of 11, actually.
11, excuse me, yeah. 11. And what area of St. Louis were you born and raised in?
I was actually born in Washington Park, which is a small village in East St. Louis. After college is when I transferred over to St. Louis, and this became my home for maybe like the past 12 years or so. But yeah, East St. Louis. I thought about where we were when we first moved over there. What was the environment like? And it was so, it was just not what it is today. There was a lot of community support that was happening. And then all of a sudden, and that's what it felt like, you know, different things start to layer. And as, you know, houses burn down, after houses burn down, someone gets shot down the street, and then this corner of becomes a drug corner to where people freely come, like you drive up there, and they just come up to your car with the anticipation of a sale. But I'm like, this is kind of – you don't even know who I am. It just slowly deteriorated. Like, it just – it was a dreadful move. And even when I was in college, I had a lot of fear for my little brothers. You know, they were back at home because I'm like, man, you know. But grateful to the way that my parents reared us and the way that I hopefully was a good example for them as a brother, then, you know, that they were able to face that. But it was just hard. You know, and my mom, she is a wonderful spirit, a wonderful person. And she and my father were just great parents. But they had their way of when they just became tyrants. But it only was to protect the children. My oldest brother, who was dealing with some type of gang affiliation, and drove right in the middle of the initiation that was going on, you know, to claim her child. It's that type of strength that that encourages me to write shows like this. When I talk about real life, this is real. You know, these are the things I saw.
Now, you premiered the play in St. Louis in 2010, mm-hmm. and this is going to be its second arrival. How have things changed since it first came here? For you and for the show in general, how have things changed?
For me, I definitely have grown. I've grown a lot, yeah. Which I understood the reason why I needed to go to California, because it was almost like a divine order to just get me back to a place of self. And to know I needed to be replenished a bit, you know, because you give so much, give so much, give so much. You don't even realize how much you're just exhausting yourself. So it really became that kind of situation. And I became obedient to that. And then it allowed me to allow my ideas to stabilize itself outside of the clouds, outside of the opinion of just what St. Louis thinks or whatever. I'd say St. Louis is where it starts now, but what I've done in this show, I was very careful of putting in street names. So if we were to take this play to Chicago, which is one of our goals, that you'll be able to put it in Chicago, and you don't have to change a lot of what's going on. You can take it to D.C., and you don't have to change a lot of what's going on. You make your different references here and there, but definitely, you know, you don't have to change a lot of what's going on.
What was it that actually just inspired you to say, you know, I want to go out and write this?
I wanted to do something that was different for musical theater. You know, when we think about, like, black theater or urban theater, musical theater, just shows that involve us, you know. We have The Wiz. You have Dreamgirls. And it's like, how many times can you continue to repeat that? And that's not even current. You know, as wonderful as those shows are, you know, as classic as they are, we got to start, writing our own classics. You know, God bless the platform that people like your Tyler Perry and your David Talberts and your Spike Lees have done to help move, you know, the younger generation such as myself to positions like that so we can write shows like Real Life and, you know, and be inspired in those ways. But it's really time for us to start putting something out there that can stand up against the next Broadway musical and work. You know, I tell that's one of the wonderful things that happened with the Real Life show, and just all, you know, and I'm learning to build my shows in that way, because I'm not just seeing, like, I don't want to just look out in the audience and see a bunch of African-American people out there in the audience. No, I want to see a diverse audience. So when I get done doing these messages, I just want to make sure it goes across the board. It's a global message, you know, that we all need to become more aware of. You know, we need self-accountability, you know, community building community.
I read that your play is, you call it urban theater, and the idea is that it has a solution. So what type of solution are you hoping to present with not just this play, but with your past and future works?
the genre like I like to place this is conscious theater. And this is conscious theater with more musical theater with this one anyway, that gives an urban story. And what I want people to take, even from those that did not even grow up in an urban community, just be able to identify with what we're facing, understand the mentality of what's really going on with a lot of people, and really point out the different issues that are very relevant, which causes a lot of the downfall as far as what we see, from the baby mama drama to the building of the family, you know, especially the men, you know, really establishing our true worth, and not just this idea of head of the household, but who are you as a man, you know, and what does that really mean, and what does that require? Now, the man, the human being, you know, not man, the lover, not man, the fighter, you know, but man, the human being, who are you? And also really heightening that idea of parenthood, like how is it that it has become so easy for us to neglect our children? At the end of the day, it's about self-accountability. At the end of the day, you have to learn forgiveness. You have to learn forgiveness of self and forgiveness of people, and you got to move on.
That's playwright Joel P. E. King talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams. King's production, Real Life, returns to the area from November 29th through December 2nd at the Grandel Theater. For more information, go to the Cityscape page at stlpublicradio.org. Next on Cityscape, music from Jeremy Davenport. This is St. Louis Public Radio.